How we love you. How we bless you. Holy Spirit, we're grateful. Grateful for the way that you are changing us. Grateful for the way that our minds are being renewed to the truth. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Continue to lead us. Lead us in the way that you know we should go. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's important to remember that when you're praying for someone to encourage them, you may see all of the problem go. They may confess, I'm all better. But you want to encourage them. Okay, number one, if they're not born again and they've just been healed, then you want to lead them to Jesus. You want to let them know it wasn't you that healed them, but it was Jesus. If they are born again, you want to let them know about the spiritual warfare that will occur. Remember, It says in Proverbs, as a man thinks, so his life goes. And Jesus said, according to what we believe, it's going to be done unto us. So the devil has no more power, has been defeated by Jesus. He had his authority that Adam gave to him taken away. So now the only thing he can do to us is to get us to believe a lie. So here's how he does it. Pain comes out of your body. You walk away. And he puts a pain back in your body again. Okay, He comes to rob, steal, and destroy, right? Jesus comes to give life and to give life in abundance, but the devil comes to rob, steal, and destroy. Okay, does a thief need permission to break into your house? They just break in, right? But what happens when they come in the house? You kick them out. You call the police. They have no right to be there. Okay? But so what's going to happen is a demon is going to come back to put pain back on the person again, and at the same time put a thought in their head, see, you didn't get healed. You see, you didn't get healed. He wants to get you to believe that lie. If you agree with that, then he puts the sickness right back on you again. He cannot do it unless you agree with his lie. But if you know what that's going to happen, the devil comes, puts the pain back on again. You feel the pain come back in your arm. He puts the thought in your head. Oh, you see? You didn't get healed. If you say this, devil, you're a liar. I have the healing power of Jesus within me. I have been restored. Get out in the name of Jesus. Then he has to back off. And he has to leave. That's all it takes. We just need to submit to God, James chapter 4, and resist the devil, and he will flee. That's our part. If you agree with his lie, now you got to get healed again. You got to go through the whole thing again. But we don't have to. Jesus said in John 8:36, 32, you shall know the truth.
Yes.
You shall know the truth. And knowing this truth will set you free. When you know the truth, the devil's been defeated. When you know the truth, that Jesus has already carried all your sickness. When you know the truth, that Jesus has already provided all the provision you need for everything in life. When you know the truth, then you can resist the lie. When the thoughts come. Do you know how people become what they call homosexuals? Demons come. We have people in America, they claim to be born again, homosexuals. Demons come, and they put lustful feelings in them. Demons can do that. Demons could put lustful feelings in your body. In your body. They cannot touch your spirit. Your spirit is sealed by the Holy Ghost. But they put lustful feelings in your body. And at the same time, thoughts. Thoughts that you were created, you were born to love men instead of women. Lying thoughts that God made you that way. This is how they do it. This is how they do it. And they keep at it again and again and again and again until the person actually believes that lie. And then out of their mouth, confession comes, I'm homosexual. No, you're not. You believe the lie. That demon was defeated. You just don't know it. You see how the enemy works? But you absolutely have the authority of the name of Jesus over everything that the devil could try to do to you. So you want to encourage people when you're praying for them. Okay, if that pain comes back, this is what you do. Don't you accept it. You resist it. You resist it. Now, also, if you're praying for someone, and you're praying 2 times, 3 times, 4 times, and it's moving a little bit, but not a lot, if the person's born again, have them pray. Because most believers, the hardest person for them to see healed is themselves. And we want to let them know they have the same use of the name of Jesus over their own body. Their body is just their car. Okay, they can get their car fixed. A few days ago, I got up in the morning. We had 2 sessions of meetings to do. I got up in the morning and I tried to sit up. I had pain. It was so bad. I could not straighten up. It was so bad. Okay, into my head comes this thought. You're not going to go to the meeting today. You cannot go to the meeting today. Look at you. How are you going to teach like this? Every time you move, it's like, ah! Yeah! You cannot go. Cancel the meeting. You know what I did? Devil, you're a liar. Devil, get out in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, I command this pain to go. In Jesus' name, I command this pain to go. In Jesus' name, I command this pain to go. And I kept doing that until submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. We give in far too easy. I was sharing with the other group that years ago, I was praying for issues and they just weren't moving. And God revealed to me that it's because demons know how long I will pray before I stop praying. Because they know, I will pray for 2 weeks. If it doesn't move, I stop praying. And I think, well, I guess it's supposed to be that way. No! No! So I made this declaration. My name, the name of little Tony, will be written in hell under the list of names of people that will not stop praying, that will not give up, that will never give in to the devil, that no matter how much they hit me with, I will not stop believing, I will not stop standing, that Jesus has already defeated them, and the healing's already been done. Then I started to see things change. As long as the demons know, you're only going to pray for 2 weeks, and then you're going to give up. They're not going to go anywhere. Because they know, in 2 weeks you'll stop praying. We're not moving. Let your name begin to be written in hell. Your name will be written there so the devils know. Don't go after this one. You go after this one, you're going to have to go. Because he won't stop. He will not stop believing. He will not stop trusting in the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus went down into hell from the grave. Went down into hell, and he went up to Satan, who Adam had given Satan the keys, the authority. It was given to Adam. Adam had authority over the earth. Read it in Genesis 1. Adam was given authority over the earth to rule the earth. To rule the earth. But Adam sinned, gave up that authority to Satan. And Satan became the prince of the power of the air. He had authority over the earth. Jesus went down into hell and he said to Satan, give me the keys. Give me the keys. Give me the authority back. And Satan had to give Jesus the authority back. Jesus came back to the disciples before he went back to heaven. Look at what he said, Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus is just getting ready to go back to heaven. He had gotten the authority back. And he said in verse 18, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority. How much is all? Is there a little bit left for somebody else? If Jesus has all authority, does anybody else have any? No. He has it all. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Everything came back to Jesus. And then he tells the disciples, put your hand out. Here it is. Now go. Here's my all authority. Now you go. You go and make disciples of all the nations. You go. I'm giving you my all authority. Authority over all the spiritual realm. Authority over all the earth. Authority over all demonic activity. All authority. Jesus said, here. You go represent me. I'm giving you my name, by all authority. You go. You see? That doesn't leave anything else for the devil. He has no authority. Zero. No authority. Unless you believe he does. If you believe he does, if you believe demons have authority over you, maybe because you sinned, maybe because you did something wrong, then you're gonna pay. It doesn't make any difference what you did. Jesus did not give you his name, his all authority, based upon what you did. You're his son, you're his daughter. He's going back to heaven. He needs you to represent him. He said, teach the people to observe all things I have commanded you. He gave them an impossible task. And he said, and lo, I am with you always. That's how we can do it. Because he's now in us. He'll never leave us. That's awesome. That's awesome. I know. Before I got married, my wife wanted. She wasn't my wife yet. My future wife. She didn't have much money. I didn't either, but I had more than her. And I had a bank account with a checkbook that I could write checks out and sign my name. Before we were married, she could not use my checkbook. But when we got married, she took on my name. My checkbook became her checkbook. Now she can sign my name because my name became her name. So all that I had, she couldn't use any of it before. But once we got married, all that I have became hers. When you receive Jesus Christ, all that he has became yours. And you now have the use of the name of Jesus. That's your name. It's your name to use. The name of Jesus Christ. It is your given name. You have inherited his name. You are now in the family. No one can take it away. Which means anything you need in the kingdom, you now can just write the check out. It's signed this way, in the name of Jesus. You need money to pay your bills? In the name of Jesus. You need healing? In the name of Jesus. You need freedom and liberty? In the name of Jesus. It's yours. Whatever Jesus has, you have. You are now a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Oh, I start talking this way, and people say, who the heck died and made you king? Who the heck died and made you king? I said, Jesus died, made me king. You have been made kings and priests. You have been made a king over this earth. The Bible even says you are like little lords over this earth, representing the king, representing the Lord of lords. You are representing him here. And in order for you to do that, you need his all authority. And he's given it to you. Oh, we as Christians, we move way too small. We think way too small. We suffer many things in this life that Jesus has already had victory over. Let's look at this in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. I'm not going too fast for you, am I?
Sir?
Am I going too fast for you?
I will also try to be fast. Yes, but...
Okay, if you don't understand something I'm saying, or you have a question, please. You ask, okay? I'm okay with that. I welcome questions.
Okay.
Romans 8.
Verse 18.
For I consider that the sufferings of this present time. Romans
8:18. Okay.
Are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Notice it says the glory of God which shall be revealed not to us. The church is looking for the glory of God to come out here. The glory cloud to come in. It says for the glory to be revealed in us. Paul wrote to the Colossians and he said, here's the mystery. It's been hidden for all ages and has now been revealed. You know what the mystery is? He says, here it is. Here's the mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whoa! It's Christ in you. Christ living in you. The glory of God in you. That's the mystery now revealed. And all of the world is waiting to see this glory. The church is praying for God to bring His glory down. He brought it down. It's in you. It's in me. His glory is in us. He's waiting for us to believe and release it. Oh, it says in the Bible that the glory of God is going to cover the earth. How's that going to happen? As each of us releases His glory through us. Everywhere we go, we release His glory. You get two people together, you get three people together, you get four people together who know that they are glory's hope. And the glory of God is in them. They know that. It's a greater manifestation. Greater release. The more of the church that begins to understand, we are arcs. We are carrying the glory of God. And we are to bring it to the earth. Then we're going to begin to see massive things happen. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation... The earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Do you know that all of creation is waiting to see the sons of God? When we were in Kenya last month on mission, they had a disease that was infecting all of their corn. And they said, we were trying to find spray and medicine for the corn. And I said, why don't you call the sons of God? He said, what? Why don't you call the sons of God? Do you hear the corn? Can you hear the corn? The corn's saying this. Sons of God! Where are you? To speak deliverance for us. To speak this disease off of us. Sons of God! Sons of God! God, rise up. Where are you, sons of God? Where are you? Rise up and speak this disease off of us. All of creation is groaning, waiting for us to be raised up, knowing who we are. Eh. Eh. I have a big mango tree in my house in Florida. And we haven't had any mangoes in 2 years. And I looked at the tree. And I said, you will bear mangoes in abundance this year. Whatever's happening to you, if there's any sickness, I command it gone in the name of Jesus. You know what happened? Mangoes all over the tree. I said to my wife, look at this! There's mangoes everywhere on this tree! 2 years with no mangoes. And I never said a word. And I sensed the Holy Spirit saying to me, Son of God, stand up. Speak to the tree. Remember when Jesus is walking with the disciples? And there was a fig tree. Remember that? There was no figs on the tree. It was not fig tree season. It was not the season for figs to grow. Jesus got upset because there was no figs on the tree. But it wasn't fig season. Let me tell you a principle. In the kingdom of heaven, there are no seasons. In the kingdom of heaven, it's whatever you need now should be now. Our God is a now God. You have a lack now, the need is now, the provision is now. We don't have to wait till next year. In the kingdom, it's provision now. He's a now God. So Jesus cursed the fig tree. The next day they came back. And they said, look, Jesus, the tree is withered up. Why? Because the words out of his mouth went right to the root. The words out of our mouth will go right to the root. And sometimes you won't see an instant change. You speak to a problem in your body. Sometimes you won't see it instant. But when you declare the truth and you speak it to your body, it is instantly beginning to happen. Instantly. We many times pray for people on the mission field. We don't see anything happen. The biggest one for me was we were in Liberia, Africa. They brought all these people in wheelbarrows. Their legs were paralyzed, their arms were paralyzed. They were just hanging over the wheelbarrow. There had to be 30 or 40 of them. They just brought him in wheelbarrows. And they couldn't talk. And we prayed. And we prayed. And we prayed. And we saw nothing. The devil comes with the thought, it's not working. Your faith, you don't have enough faith. God's not doing it. He is a liar! 2,000 years ago, Jesus healed every one of those. And now, our position is, as a representative of heaven, is to lay our hands and declare what Jesus has already done. And we speak to those bodies, and we command them to be restored. And it's amazing to me, it was 30 days or more later, I started getting emails. Remember the guys in the wheelbarrows? They're getting up and walking.
30 days later,
the manifestation of that prayer 30 days earlier happens 30 days later. Out of bed. Because somebody believed. Because there was a son of God. There was a daughter of God who stood there believing. I'm bringing the kingdom of heaven to this person. I don't need to see instant results. You don't need to see instant results. Every time you pray. Every time you pray. There is something happening. Every time you pray. There's a release. Every time you pray. There's a release. Can you feel it? Can you see it? No. Well, maybe sometimes you can feel something. But I'm telling you, that's reality. And that's how the kingdom operates. That's how it operates. Then I have people that say, I can't pray for anyone. Look at me, I'm sick. I had a man in America that was totally blind. He said, I want to go with you on a mission trip. I want to be part of the team. Well, the first thought that came was, how is this going to work? How is a totally blind guy going to be on our team? Here we are coming to tell you about how to get healed, and we got a totally blind guy. How's that going to work? And the Holy Spirit just told me, let it go. Let it go. But okay. I said, come on, you could be part of the team. Well, he came with us. We it came time for prayer. We the team lined up. The people came for prayer. And he's standing here like this, waiting for someone to touch his hand. Because he can't see anyone. Okay. First person comes, touches his hand. He goes, in Jesus' name. And he's still praying. And I said, hey, Lloyd, they're on the floor. Stop praying. The next person comes. The next one. So I go, I start talking to these people. They're getting healed. One after another. Now we got the rest of our team is here. And the people in our line, they're looking over. They're looking, watching this guy. And everybody is going down. They're looking and they're watching them. They get out of my line and they go over. Everybody gets in the line of the blind guy. So we got this blind guy praying for everybody. And everybody's getting healed. And I'm just like, this is amazing. He went the whole trip. His eyes never opened up. And he saw way more miracles than anybody else. What did we sing this morning? It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you, Jesus. It really is all about you, Jesus. You know, it was like 3 years later. He called me and he said, I just want you to know that, you know, my eyesight's been coming back and it's almost restored now. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't think that because you got something going on with you, that disqualifies you. Uh-uh. No. I was sharing with the other group. We were. I don't remember where we were, but I had my sinuses were all filled up. I could hardly breathe. It was nasty. So all people are coming for prayer. What do you think the Lord does? He brings me all the people with asthma. Everybody I got to pray for has got asthma. They can't breathe. They can't breathe. And I'm... So I say, what do you need prayer for? I have asthma, trouble breathing. I can't smell. I go, okay. Let me pray. I'm praying for them, and they're all getting healed. All of them. They go, I can breathe. Hallelujah, I can breathe. And now. Listen, it's all about Jesus. It really is. What did I say?
So what happened to your sinus? What happened to your sinus? Where you get healed?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
After the people got healed, you pray your sinus. What happened to your sinus then?
It took a couple days. Listen, we believe too much religious stuff. Do you know what? All God needs, He needs your hands. He needs your feet to go to hurting people. He needs your mouth to let Him speak through. He just needs you to present yourself to Him. He does everything. He does all the work. He does all the healing. He does it all. It's not us. We're the vessel. We're bringing Him there. So don't, the Bible says don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. Listen, pride has no place in the kingdom. Yeah, if you find you begin to see a lot of miracles happening, don't do this. Look at me. Look at me. I'm the man. No. This is really all about Him. And this wonderful privilege that we have to bring His life to people. Just to bring His life to hurting people. What an awesome privilege we have. You are sons of God. I have now seen in my own life a few times that I've commanded storms to stop. I've commanded them to stop. I've commanded them to move. Storms that were coming to do damage. And they stopped and they moved. We were out in the ocean. And we had five people diving in the water. And they were down with scuba tanks. And a storm came up really bad. And it's coming right at us. And they were still down in the water. The people on the boat said, "What are we going to do?" I said, "This is what we're going to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, command this storm to hold back from the area where they're diving. I command this storm in Jesus' name to stay away from this boat." Do you know what happened? The storm came? Big circle. A big circle right around the boat. And right where the guys were diving. No storm. We can see it. This is the circle. We're inside this circle. Storm all around us. They got in the boat. They said, my God, what's happening here? They got in the boat. We started traveling back to land. The circle traveled with us. All the way back. Sons of God, all of creation is waiting. Jesus was in the boat with the disciples. He's sleeping. A hurricane comes up. And Jesus is... And they wake him up. Jesus, get up, get up, Jesus, get up. We're going to die. He gets up. He says, peace be still. And then he looks at them. He says, oh, you of little faith. He wanted them to do that. He wanted them to speak to the storm. He wants us to speak to the storms of our life. He wants us to speak to the physical storms. He wants us, the sons of God, have authority over the earth. We have authority over the earth. We've got to begin standing in it, believing and standing in it. Creation is waiting for us. It's waiting for us. We've been in a number of countries now and they're having drought. We teach them this. So you speak to the weather. You command the rains to come. And they do, and the rains come. And then they realize we have been given the all authority of Jesus. And creation even obeys us in the name of Jesus. That's your inheritance, church. It's your inheritance. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That you have been made to be ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. What is an ambassador? If I was here in the Philippines as an ambassador of the United States, the United States would provide for me a housing. The United States would provide for me transportation. The United States would provide for me all my food. The United States would provide for me all of my expenses money. The United States would provide for me diplomatic immunity so that no one here could touch me. And the United States would allow me to speak for the United States because I would be an ambassador. All of my needs taken care of. No worries. All of you have been made to be ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven to represent Jesus the King. If you believe that, then you will see all of your needs met. You will just see it. It just happens. Jesus said, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness. And all these things, food, housing, clothing, all these things that you need, you won't even need to ask for. They will just be added to you. They'll just be added to you. They'll just be added to you. It just happens. It just comes. When we represent the kingdom, when you're not afraid to talk to people about Jesus, when you see someone sick and you go to them and say, can I pray for you? I have something that will help you. You say, I have something that will help you. Oh, really? You got some pills? I got something better than pills. It's in my hand. Oh yeah? I don't see anything in your hand. Yeah, it's the kingdom of heaven. If you let me pray for you, your problem will go. And you pray. And the power of God comes. Not because you're good. Not because you've got your life all together. Because you're submitted to Him. Because you are representing Him. He takes care of it. Isn't that good news? That's good news. Sons of God. Daughter. Of God. That's awesome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just reminded by the Holy Spirit of we had gone to Africa. This was our first trip. And we got to Africa. The pastors met us at the airport. Many years ago, the first time we went to Africa. And we were dressed like this. Casey had shorts on. And they came with their suits. And they looked at us. And they thought, my God, what have we done? Oh, certainly they don't have anything that could help us. Oh my gosh. And they were looked really funny. We had a 7-hour drive to get back to the village. 8 hours, I don't know, something like that. On the way back, just in discussions, they were not going to even let us minister. But in the discussions, they sensed Jesus in us. And they said, okay, you're going to minister. You know what happened? The first service, the host pastor brought his daughter. He took her out of the hospital. She had malaria and she had typhoid. He took her out of the hospital. He said, I'm going to see what these guys really got. So he takes his daughter out of the hospital and he puts her right in the front. So we're sharing. It comes time to pray. He says, pray for her. Okay. So we prayed for her. And she said, I think I'm healed. I think I'm healed. Papa, I think I'm healed, Papa. He said, no symptoms? She said, no, they're all gone. So he sends her back to school the next day. She goes to school and they said, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be in a hospital. You have malaria and typhoid. She said, no, I don't. They said, yes. They made her go back to the hospital. They brought her back to the hospital. And she said, I don't have anything. They said, are you crazy? She said, no. I was in this meeting and everything's gone. They said, we're going to run tests. They ran the tests. And they found out she had no malaria and no typhoid. The doctors in the hospital said, where did this happen? Tell us where this happened. She said, it's a church meeting that is over in this church. And they said, who did this? She said, it was Jesus. Well, okay, if we go there, will we see Jesus? She said, oh yeah, yeah, you'll see Jesus. Do you know what they did? They took all the people, I got ambulances, and took all the people out of the hospital. And they brought them to the meeting. So the next meeting, the whole back of the church is all filled with all these stretchers and cots. And I said to the pastors, I said, what's this? And they said, oh, that's the hospital. I said, what? He said, yeah, he told me what happened. His daughter told him what happened. And they said, we're taking everybody that's sick in this hospital over to that meeting. So we got the whole hospital in the back of the church. I said, okay, it came time to pray. We prayed for them. Every single person got healed. The next day, There was nobody in the hospital. Sons of God, be raised up. Those who will represent the kingdom of heaven. You see, all your parts to say, I'll go, Jesus. I'll go. You're living in me. I'll go. I'll do this in your name. Oh, look at this. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Philippians 4:6.
Okay. Dili ka mo manatagol sa bisan unsa.
But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know, why is he saying, whenever you pray, let it be done with thanksgiving? Because Jesus has already done it all. So when you pray, you can thank him for the manifestation of what he's already done. You see, we don't have to beg anymore. Because now we're talking about the finished work of Jesus. He says, if you do that, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Okay, so he says, pray with all prayer and petition. What is petition? Do you know what petition is? Petition is a legal word. Okay, we as a citizen of the United States, I can petition the government of the United States when there's something affecting my rights. I can petition the government to interfere in this situation, to support my rights in the kingdom of heaven. We can petition heaven to come and interfere in the affairs of mankind to protect the rights of a citizen of heaven. Are you a citizen of heaven? Are you born again? You're a citizen of heaven. You have been given citizenship rights to petition the government of heaven, to send angels to interfere. Whenever your rights as a citizen of heaven are being disturbed by devils, you can get heaven to interfere. You can get heaven to interfere in the lives of people that are demonized. It's your right. That's petition prayer. It's a legal right for you as a citizen. Isn't that great? Look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah, verse 1, Jeremiah 1, Jeremiah 1, 12.
12, okay.
Says, the Lord said to me, you have seen well for, now watch. I am ready to perform my word. God is ready to perform his word. He's not going to perform our selfish word. Like, I don't like what this lady's doing. I think you should drop a box on her head. No. God's not going to perform our selfish word. Okay. When we speak his word, he's going to perform it. He's ready. He's ready to perform his word. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. That doesn't mean that Jesus is seeing a vision of what the Father's doing, so he follows the vision. What that means is Jesus only does what he knows the Father's heart and will is to do. The Father's heart is to heal. The Father's heart is to give mercy. The Father's heart is to give grace. The Father's heart is to bring deliverance. So Jesus does that. He only does what he sees, what he knows the Father's heart does. Our words throughout every day are petitioning prayers. We are either petitioning the government of heaven, or we're petitioning the government of the enemy. Our words are petitioning prayers. As we learn who we are, as we learn what Jesus has accomplished, we speak petitioning prayers for heaven to invade. Do you all have family members that don't know the Lord? Y'all family doesn't know the Lord yet? You can petition heaven to invade their lives. They've gotten lots of invasion from hell. But you can petition heaven to invade their lives. Because you're an ambassador. You represent heaven. And God desires none to be lost. Amen? So we just do it. It needs to become part of our everyday. This is just what we do. And one thing that I'm learning is not to dwell on and not to state the facts of what are going on, but to dwell on and declare the truth. Okay, I get a pain in my head. It's a fact. I have a pain in my head, in my body's head. It's a fact. But the truth says that by his stripes, 2 Peter 2:24, by his stripes, that head pain's already been removed. Jesus has already taken that pain. So, truth is greater than fact. So I'm not going to be confessing all day long how much pain I have. I'm going to be confessing the truth that this pain has to leave. Are you with me? Truth is greater than fact. We don't deny that we have pain. Okay, we're not pretending. We don't tell people, oh, just pretend it's not there. That's stupid. You have pain. But it's just a fact. The truth is greater than fact. And if we place our confidence in the truth, we speak the truth, it will drive out the fact. Are you with me, church? So I'm standing there, there's people around me. And somebody says, oh, you're coming down with a cold. I say, I'm coming down with healing. My words are, I'm coming down with healing. They say, you're coming down with a cold. I say, I'm coming down with healing. Okay, I'm declaring the truth over the fact. Because that's what I believe. Remember, Jesus said, according to what you believe, it will be done for you. I spent a good half of my life inviting the enemy to make a mess of my life. Because I was always declaring the problem. I was the kind of guy that if I wasn't worrying about something, I would worry why I wasn't worrying. It was that bad. But I was just letting the enemy have his way with me and mess me up. Oh, when I was 17 years old, I didn't even finish my last year of high school because I spent most of the year in the hospital. One sickness after another, because I'm constantly confessing these things. I didn't know. But now I know. We should confess the truth. Declare the truth. And then the Spirit of God sees our faith in that truth. And He releases it. When the Holy Spirit sees faith in you, He releases it. He releases that truth. That's Christianity. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Alright. So, I think that we need to pray.
Okay.
How many of you you're sensing, you're beginning to sense that there is available to you? The supernatural ability of the Holy Spirit to be able to see the miraculous realm come in. How many of you are beginning to sense that this is for you? That this is for you. Are you beginning to sense this is for you? Or do you think I'm just talking about us? All right, let me show you this. This is you. This is you. Okay. This is Jesus. All right. When you got born again, the Holy Spirit puts you in Christ. He puts you in Christ. Now, answer this question. How does the Father see Jesus? Does the Father see Jesus holy? Huh?
Yes.
How does He see you? Where are you? Does the Father see Jesus anointed? Does the Father see Jesus anointed? Does He? How does He see you? Where are you? The Holy Spirit put you there. When you became born again, the Holy Spirit put you in Christ. All that He is, you are. All that the Father sees in Jesus, He sees in you. All the authority, all the power, all the victory, all the deliverance, all that the Father sees in Jesus, He sees in you. That's how He sees you. You've got to begin seeing yourself the way God sees you. The Father has no anger to you. Jesus took all that away. The Father sees you not according to your flesh anymore. Not according to the things you do outside of Him. He sees you in Jesus Christ. He wants you to see you in Jesus Christ. How can you do all things? Because you're in Christ. How can you drive sickness out? Because you're in Christ. How can you do miracles? Because you're in Christ. Your spirit is in Him. You see it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.